What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you to a crossover edition of Meet Me at Mutual and Gateway to Baseball Heaven. You have me, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Red Bird and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. And also Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. This is, you know, it's good. We have to let you know the Twitters because we're not going to actually be able to talk to anybody in person for a long time, it seems like. The coronavirus has struck the whole country, it seems like, and baseball got the brunt of it today as well. We'll say up front, we have no answers. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of discussion to talk about, but don't look here for anything official or obviously or anything, any kind of solutions. Tara, let's start with you. Came down, you know, today we're talking, the Cardinals are actually out there on the field playing while this discussion is going on. And we find out baseball shut down for, well, you know, at least 2 weeks into the season. How did you follow this and, what was your reaction?
Boy, I mean, first of all, I don't quite know why any spring training games were being played at this point, because after the news broke about the NBA with players testing positive, the drama with the Big Ten tournament and all the things there, it just seemed very strange knowing that a decision was coming at some point that the teams would even begin to play games today, especially games that didn't matter, especially with the assumption that they were going to stop playing games very shortly. It was strange to me to, you know, bring fans into the stadium when massive crowds seem to be a big part of the problem, or at least what they're trying to eliminate to help stop the spread of this virus. All those things. Weird decision there, I think, to have those games begin anyway. But, you know, at some point in the last, you know, 48 hours, which has felt like 48 days, it became very obvious that this was likely going to happen. And so I think maybe the shock value had worn off simply because we'd seen it with all these other leagues at this point. But I really do think that this was the best case scenario as far as what Major League Baseball could do, kind of just press the pause button now while the games don't really matter, and maybe try to save as much of the regular season as you can, with the obvious caveat that no one knows how this is going to go, and no one knows how quickly there's going to be any sort of confidence that there's a handle on it. So I think this was the best case scenario, even though it's disappointing and it's frustrating. And look, I can speak to it on a very personal level. It's doing a lot of damage to a lot of people and their livelihoods. It's not just about the entertainment or, you know, whatever else it is that goes on at baseball games. So it's a very heavy decision across the board, all these decisions being made, but I do feel like this was the best way baseball could go about it.
Alan, you and I talked a little bit about this possibility on the last Mutual. I don't think while we were afraid that it was coming, I think, you know, when we were talking, it was the empty stadium idea seemed to be the one that was most prevalent. It just kind of escalated very quickly this week. I mean, what were your thoughts on it?
No, I agree. I agree with Tara on that. I'm glad she brought it up too, because the last 2 days have seemed so long that I couldn't really remember the tipping point where I felt like, okay, things are going to get a little bit, crazy. And, after the NBA situation last night, where it hit so close to home with the Rudy Gobert situation, and that's in Oklahoma City. I mean, that's in my backyard. It's, I felt like everybody was going to act pretty quickly on that one. I was kind of surprised that NHL and Major League Baseball didn't announce it last night. And like Tara, I was a little surprised that they let them go through the motions today. I always feel like there's probably legal ramifications of what they're looking for in making that decision. And it may be, I may be completely wrong. It could have been a, what kind of containment are we looking at in an outdoor venue type of situation as well. I don't know, and I don't pretend to know, but it was a little odd. It was ominous to get started. And you saw Matt Carpenter made that comment today. He was like, I don't think any of us really, that was the strangest game we've ever been involved in. He felt like, we were only half there type of situation. And it's a scary time. I agree. We had talked about it last week, and even talking about it last week, I'm the biggest skeptic when it comes to these things. I never really thought it would get to that point, but thought that would kind of be the worst of the worst of keeping people away from one another and avoiding the large crowds and all that. But they made the right call. I mean, you have to make that call, and there's bounding pressure. I was surprised it took them as long as they did. But like I said, there was probably elements we'll never be aware of why they chose to wait as long as they did. But now it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to read the reports and see what we can find out as far as a possible start time. And hopefully we can rebound at some point.
You know, baseball's not known for quick reactions. Let's put it that way. So it may not be too surprised that they felt like they were dragging their feet a little bit on this. But again, when you had a pretty good idea Thursday night after the NBA canceled, after the NBA did that, I don't think any major sports team, any sports league could not do that. You could make, there were some arguments about the nature of basketball and how that might be more likely to transmit. But, you know, really, when you get a whole bunch of people together, it's going to be a problem. And we're seeing that. So, I'm selfishly, I'm glad that they played today because, you know, got a chance to see the Cardinals one last time for a while. They were actually on TV, so we got to see them play against the Marlins and see Wainwright look good and all that. And that's going to have to tide us over for quite a while. The rest of spring training is canceled, which is, 2 weeks from today is supposed to be opening day. So you're wiping out 2 weeks of games there. And then there's a two-week delay to the season starting. So, we're a month away from baseball at best. Tara, do you think that best case scenario is the one that's likely to happen?
You know, it's honestly so hard to even guess at this point, because I think the thing that's become very obvious in the last couple of days is that even the experts don't know what to expect as far as how quickly this can be managed. And I mean, the reality is it's not going to just go away. So all of these precautionary steps are taken to try to, as people were saying on Twitter today, kind of flatten the curve and make it not such an instant, overwhelming sort of situation and mm-hmm. maybe spread it out a little bit, which sounds like a strange positive to take from something like this, mm-hmm. right? But because no one really knows, it's hard to even guess. But I would like to think that, you know, like the NBA and like the NHL, these leagues that are planning to sort of reevaluate in 30 days, that we'll have a little bit better of an idea of it at that point. And, you know, for better or worse, know if shutting things down and keeping large gatherings from happening is actually making headway in trying to take care of the people who are sick and keep people who are healthy from getting sick. And that's ultimately the focus with this, right? So whether that is a 4-week process or a 6-week process, like I think I was seeing it what has been in China before they really felt like they had a handle on it, I don't know. And I think that's what's so difficult about this is that there's this conversation about whether things should be canceled or just postponed or suspended. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I was at the NAIA cheer and dance national championship that was supposed to be happening this weekend. I was there setting up for the TV broadcast and watched in real time as the host school found out that the event was canceled. And it was devastating. But a lot of their immediate questions were, wait, is it canceled or is it just postponed? And the very real answer to that is no one knows, because no one knows how long it's going to be before it's realistically safe to host these kinds of events and deal with the repercussions of someone who might be sick. So that's a very long-winded way of saying, I don't know how to answer that question as far as whether it will in fact be 4 weeks or longer, because there's just so much about the entirety of the situation that even experts don't know.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And it feels to me that even at the end of if they take a month off, it kind of feels like they need at least a week of spring training just to get everybody back in the, you know, swing of it. I don't think that would just jump right into opening day, but, you know, and I think John Mozeliak said that today, they expect at least some sort of camp or something that might get them going. But Alan, I mean, what's your thoughts? Do you think it's, you know, a mid-April, or are we looking, you know, end of April, beginning of May type of thing?
I think a lot will be, I think we'll probably find out, and I think we're hopeful to find out, and that's, when I say we, I mean as a country, this 2 week window of how things are going to look, you know, if they can get a grasp on contagion, if they can get a grasp on mitigating, and get a grasp on testing, to be honest with you, about where this is actually going to go. I would say that that's about as optimistic a view as it can be, you know, the report that they put out. And it is funny to see the wording of the cancellations or postponement, because you could probably throw anything out there right now, because Tara's right, no one really knows anything. You know, on the science part of it, I think that there's some hope that this runs the cycle of basically like the seasonal flu, to where the heat and warm temperatures are going to make a difference, and that it may fade out on its own a little bit more. I knowing that we were going to do this show tonight, I was kind of reading up and researching, and that you get mixed signals on that as well. I felt pretty confident. I was like, well, I feel like the warmer weathers will affect it, and that that we may see a decline in that we may see a decline in infections and all that before then. But then, you know, you see, you know, one of the talking head or the pundits on the news and say, well, such a hopeful or overly optimistic viewpoint. And I'm like, well, man, that's so it's more of a gray area right now than anything. I would probably guess later April. And I do kind of feel like we haven't seen the last of Jupiter, even if it is for a 7 to 10 day abbreviated, you know, situation where you bring down 30 plus guys as opposed to 70 and start figuring it out that way. That wouldn't surprise me at all, but that's some of the interesting parts of this, to see how those things work out. It really reminds me of the early 80s strike at this point, or even 94, to be honest with you, 94 going into 95, about how they abbreviated things. And, you know, there's ways to get them done. And it'll really be interesting to see the plans they come up to do so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about 94. I knew Tara wasn't going to be able to remember that, because she's not as old as we are. But it does have that feel. And we all, of course, remember the week that we lost after 9/11, and how baseball kind of, you know, took that week and moved it to the end of the year. But yeah, I think this feels more like the strike where they, you know, they started the season late and they just played 150 games, 155, I think it was that year. You know, if it's 2 weeks, they might try to squeeze in some here and there. But I it really feels like anything longer than 2 weeks, it's going to be a shortened schedule. And I don't know. I mean, that's, if nothing else, baseball's been talking about a shortened schedule for a little while. I guess they'll find out if they like it or not. Tara, I guess let's go ahead and talk about, you know, I know how much it's affected you with your work. And so you really understand what it's doing to the minor leaguers as well. I mean, minor leaguers don't get paid for spring training. They only get paid when the season starts, and minor league baseball has already said they're pushing their start back, which they should have started on the 8th, which is basically that 2 weeks after a season starts. So they're pushing theirs back at least 2 weeks, I think, too. We don't know yet if that's going to affect people's, you know, if they're going to pay them at the regular times, but that's got to be really, really concerning for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's already difficult this time of year for those guys because the reality is they don't get paid for minor league playoffs either. So these guys haven't been paid since August, essentially, in some cases. And they're really counting on that first check in the month of April. And, you know, some of them have part-time jobs in the offseason. I would say, I would venture to guess that a large majority of them do just to make ends meet. But at this point, they're working and not getting paid. And yes, I'm very, very acutely aware of the challenge that that presents after today. And, you know, people like myself who work as freelancers in the sports industry essentially lost 2 months of work. And that's basically what these minor leaguers are facing, is months and months of not getting paid. So there's valid question about how Major League Baseball, how minor league baseball will handle that, with whether it's, you know, individual teams making that choice and deciding to do something about it, or if it's a major league mandate or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's not a small question at this point, because if those guys are being asked to stay there, in many cases, the idea of what to do with players has not been determined. There's some idea that it might be safer for players where they are for a variety of reasons than to go back to various parts of the country. And that's all good and well, but you aren't necessarily paying those players to be there, particularly on the minor league level. So if you just kind of hold them almost hostage for the next month and then some, and don't let them go home, don't let them play, you're not assigning them to a roster, which is when they typically get paid. Yes, it makes what is already a bad situation that much worse for those guys. And we're seeing that all over Twitter today. Guys that, you know, a volume of comments from minor league players that you don't often see, which I think is a part of the larger story about where minor league baseball is at right now, with guys kind of finding their voice and feeling like they have a platform to say something. But they're drawing attention to this very difficult reality for them right now. And we've heard before that there have been players in every organization all throughout the years who essentially don't make enough money to keep playing baseball. If this becomes an ongoing thing and Major League Baseball doesn't come up with a plan to support those players, there might be guys that don't make it to the start of the season and have to go do something else. That is a very real possibility.
Yeah, you could easily see a lot of those guys, especially those fringe guys that are just, you know, they're gonna take it away. And that's, you know, there's some idea that's happened before, and it'll, you know, it's just kind of weeded people out. And unfortunately, that kind of plays into Major League Baseball's hands right now. It would be nice to say that baseball will step up and take care of them, but obviously that's not ever happened before. It'd be really nice to think that maybe the Major League players, because, you know, they may not be getting paid rise this moment either, but they should have a little bit more stockpiled to be able to help these guys out, and hopefully, I'm sure some will, at least individually, but it would be nice to see the players union come up with some sort of some sort of fund. You know, they have a strike fund when they have strikes, but some sort of fund that some of these minor leaguers could access and at least have some support, because yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're talking about people with families of young kids, and you know, knowing that you were going to get paid in a couple of weeks, and now all of a sudden that becomes a month and a half. That's
especially
tough
when you've planned for that, right? If you're smart right about budgeting and you kind of know what your target date is for getting paid, assuming you're confident that you're going to make a roster somewhere, you can plan that out. You don't have 2 months of extra, though. That's where it gets really, really difficult. And some of these guys, especially if they can't go home, don't necessarily have a way to make that up.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, again, there's a lot of things that aren't solved. In fact, Alan, you know, somebody mentioned to me, it's not nearly to the point of the minor leaguers, but just in general, you know, somebody asked, you know, what about these people that bought, you know, ticket packs so they could have opening day? Well, opening day is going to be something different. I mean, what are we going to see in regards to the fans to some, I mean, again, it's not the same. It's disposable income versus, you know, livelihood. But still, it's a concern that people have. I mean, you know, I know you've got tickets for this year, and now you have no idea when or when those games might actually be.
Yeah. That was one of the first things that I looked at as far as starting dates go and such like that, because I was wondering, I was like, well, there's several ways they can do this, and I'm wondering if when they do start and they do feel like it's safe to get back out there, are they going to start on that date, or are we going to see a completely renovated schedule, which that, you know, I wonder which is the lesser pain, you know, in whatever plan they come up with. So that it was one of the things I looked at initially. I wouldn't want to be in anybody's situation that has to deal with the refunds or answer those phones tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. That would be, or maybe it was probably started today, I would assume. And that will be a tough spot. You know, everything we're talking about, the unseen consequences of the minor leaguers without pay like we were just talking about, and this situation of refunds, and it's it's things that had to happen, but man, it brings on a whole heap of work, you know, for everyone involved to rectify the situation, and I'm curious to see it's tough to say this is down in the dumps as I am right now, as far as basketball being canceled and the start of the season being delayed, but at least we know that's delayed and there's going to be baseball at some point. But, it's tough to hear the stories of the minor league guys that, make very little money anyway at this point, not getting paid now. And the work crews in the stadiums that aren't going to get paid. And those are the things that I think that people are doing a really good job of bringing that out to light. But I think it's easier just to say, hey, let's cancel it and be safe than to think of those crews. And, it's a mess. And you feel bad, and it's kind of tough talking about the tickets, but that was one of the very first things I looked at. I was like, well, I'm glad at this point I hadn't booked any hotels. I know that I can get down there one way or the other, but I'm glad I didn't do anything like that. So that will be interesting to see how they fix those problems and how they set the season going and what date, or if the schedule is going to look completely different anyway. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting, at least month to see how things go.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, one of the quirks of the schedule as it is written is the Cardinals play the Dodgers all seven times in the first 2 weeks, or first 3 weeks, I guess. If it starts later than that and they just try to pick up where they came off, you'd have a whole season where you didn't play the Dodgers. And granted, that's not a team that's in your division, but it'd be very strange not to play a team like that. In fact, the Cardinals might not want to play the Dodgers as good as a team that they are. But those are weird quirks that we're going to have to be with. Tara, if you were to pick, and again, I know it depends on how long they're out, but I did hear an idea of, you know, like, canceling the All-Star game and you know, using that week to make up some games. Is that something that they should think about, or is this, you know, or is it more important to have that break in the middle of even a shortened season?
I would venture to say that decision will be entirely based around what's going to make more money.
Yes,
All-Star week, true. Or teams having games that week. Quite frankly, that's going to be a very real conversation. And while most of the time I fault Major League Baseball for focusing perhaps too much on maximizing revenue as opposed to some things that are actually important about fixing in their game, it's a fair thing to be thinking about at this point. I mean, if you're talking about losing at least 2 weeks of the regular season, if not more, there are going to be some conversations about how to regain some of that revenue, which they won't be able to regain all of it. But I would imagine that the conversation about All-Star game versus regular season games is going to be far more financial than anything else at that point, because look, the All-Star festivities are a spectacle, and we all know that, and we either love or hate it for that, but it is what it is, and it draws a crowd, and it has a completely different television viewing audience than perhaps regular season baseball, just from the standpoint of why people tune in to watch. And I don't know what the right answer is to that, but I would feel pretty confident in saying the overriding theme of those conversations will be much more from a business strategy perspective than anything else.
And part of that business strategy is the fact that there are TV rights involved in there.
Exactly.
For the All-Star game, but also, you know, Fox Sports Midwest has paid for 162 games, and I don't know how those discussions go.
Yeah, and that's why, I just to be clear, when I'm talking about what's going to make them the most money, I don't just mean recouping ticket sales, right? Like, we're talking about all of the many, many layers of how you make money off of baseball, and there's a lot of that that comes from the All-Star game. There's a lot of that that comes from those regular season games. I don't know what that formula looks like as far as determining where the profit margins are there, but you're right. There are a lot of pieces of that from the media perspective, from contracts they have with vendors, from, you know, all these different things that are now completely in flux. And a lot of that probably depends on how they come to some sort of resolution with each of those individual pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, given that this is stuff, I mean, they're just at the very beginning of this, and I know they're going to be working through it, you know, even though we feel like maybe it's a little early to ask these questions because you don't even know how long baseball is going to be out. I guarantee that they're already starting to work on some ideas on trying to figure this out. And this is their plan for 2 weeks. This is their plan for 3 weeks. This is their plan for a month.
I imagine there are theme nights they're going to miss in the first 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of like promotional items and things that are sponsored. Yep. Like all of that comes into this conversation, how you go about making some sort of headway there. I don't know. Like Alan said, I don't envy those people at all.
Yeah. But if they don't, you know, if they can't give away their mystery opening day car bobbleheads, then, you know, I think we could take them off their hands for them.
We could find homes for them.
Yeah, we could do something with that. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things, a lot of things in the, you know, the moving parts that, and there's stuff we don't, you know, we don't even think of. I mean, you know, with what appears to be NCAA canceling the rest of their, you know, they've canceled the basketball, but also looks like they've canceled baseball in the World Series, the College World Series. You know, how does that affect the draft? How are they going to do, you know, things there? There's just, again, so many different things because this is so unprecedented. There's nothing to back this up. I mean, again, you know,
the service last time is a thing that keeps coming. Service time for these players is a thing that keeps coming up on Twitter today. How does it affect service time? Because if you're not playing the entirety of a season, is it going to adjust? And if it doesn't adjust, how do you, it's just, again, every conversation brings up a different layer to this, which is why I think it's fair that it was such a difficult decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just, you know, shut something down, especially this huge in any of these leagues, without, you know, seriously thinking about it first. I mean, again, you know, 9/11, they were out for a week, and that was, you know, tough enough to try to, you know, they were able to just kind of move that to the end of the season, but it still caused some issues. And the strike of 94, I mean, they just wiped everything out there. But, you know, this is something, you know, you didn't really get to see coming until this last week, really. So it's not like you have a contingency plan in place for, you know, everybody gets sick, or everybody, you know, can't come to your ball games. It's strange. Alan, any thoughts on any last thoughts before? I mean, I feel like we've kind of scattershotted around a lot of things, but is there anything else that maybe we haven't mentioned yet?
I was trying to think of some of the situations in the, I remember after the early 80s strike after the fact more than anything. And that's reading on it and watching videos and stuff like that back in the VHS days about how they approach things too. It was had they split the season into two parts. It was kind of like a minor league season. And I remember when they broke the news that camp was opening in 95, and it really was interesting because it seemed like that was kind of a race to the finish all year because they had the abbreviated spring training. And I get a strong feeling that's what it's going to be like. You know, those are all great points of things that I didn't even think about of, you know, television rights for all the games and major network rights for their games and, you know, the All-Star game and the built-in breaks that everybody's, you know, the collective bargaining agreement had agreed upon. And it's going to be interesting because none of these groups, whether it's ownership, whether it's the networks or whether it's the players, want to look like the bad guy in situations like this. And it's always interesting to see how they bend and come together on those in situations like this. And there's an intriguing part just to break the monotony of seeing how they come together and what they come up with schedule wise. I mean, it's curious, and we'll be talking about that probably for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And maybe we'll start getting some, leaks about things they're looking at. I bet that that's probably, they're not going to trump that at least for about 14 days because they don't want to maybe overshadow the news to see where this is going until we can get a grip on the severity of how things are going to be let this run its course a little bit, or if they can cut it off. That they probably won't make any statements on that. I don't know where it's going to go, but it feels like whenever it does get going, it's going to happen in a flash, and they'll pick up and hit the ground running on that one.
I don't know if it does, but it may raise an interesting question. I mean, again, these guys have had a month of games, but they're going to have a month off. We've seen what happens to people like Greg Holland or Craig Kimbrell or others that didn't have a spring training in general. Terry, do you think the scattershot bit of this, to have a month on and then a month off and then, you know, maybe a couple of days a week, is that going to affect them very much as the season gets going?
My immediate reaction is how many more pitchers are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. The plans in spring are very, very strategically designed to ramp up from just sort of light off-season throwing to where you can throw 5 innings plus as a starter, or you can throw every other day as a bullpen arm or whatever it is. Those plans are incredibly structured. And again, there's no precedent for this, right? So what do they do when all of a sudden you have a month off in between all of that? I think in theory, that's why there's some idea that it's probably better if guys stay around instead of going home, just because you can maybe manage that a little bit better if there's some sort of structure, even if it's not spring training games. I don't know, though. Now, the good thing is they have people to design those programs. So in theory, you design a program that allows them to come down off of that sort of incline a bit and then build back up. But that's so unusual. You don't know how guys are going to react to that. And maybe, you know, there's a bit of a rush when the all clear is given and they have 10 days to get ready or whatever it is. And so they're trying to get ready too fast. It's like a bullpen arm who tries to get ready too fast and then has no control or then gets hurt. My immediate reaction is that's a very likely scenario. So you'll probably end up having to see, it's funny to some degree, I guess, if you can inject a little bit of humor in this. Alex and I were talking on the Chirps podcast this week, what happens if we get into the first couple of weeks of the regular season and Mike Schilt is making terrible managerial decisions about pitchers. And now that he's married, is it going to be a Yoko Ono thing? Anyway, it's funny that we were talking about Mike Schilt and his bullpen choices in just sort of a comical context, because a lot of his decisions, the strategy of what you do with guys in that situation may have to be very different, right? Jack Flaherty hasn't pitched 6 innings this spring, I don't think. I haven't watched many games, but I don't think he has. And, you know, neither has anyone else really. So do you put a starter in? Do you kind of piggyback guys? And if you do, does that change the way you make up your roster? Because you're having to completely alter your strategy because you don't have the spring to allow guys to throw at maximum velocity without getting hurt. I mean, those are all the questions that I would be asking at this point if I was in that mix of making those decisions, because what happens with a big month plus pause in the middle of spring training? We have no idea. We have no precedent for that. But the thing that we do know is that pitchers trying to get ready too fast tends to result in injury. And that would be my primary concern as far as how do we limit the fallout of this as much as possible.
Alan, I have this memory, I may be wrong, I didn't look it up before we came into the show, but I have this idea that at 95, when the, you know, the of course, we had the replacement players that took up some of the spring training, and then the decision comes down and the real players return. But it was a shortened spring training. It felt like, I think maybe for the first 2 weeks, the rosters were expanded to 26, 27 men or something like that back then. You think that's possible? You know, they'll run like 30 men instead of 26 for the first couple of weeks so that you can take a couple extra arms and not have to worry about throwing them 6 or 7 innings?
Yeah, I could completely see something like that. I don't remember the specifics on how everything started with Darren 95, but you're right. There were amendments to A, the schedule, and to the rosters. I can't remember. Yeah, I probably should have looked that up, especially as much as I was thinking this reminds me of that situation. I know that when they come back, it'll really remind me of that. And that makes a ton of sense to me about how they can do an expanded rosters early type deal and bring extra arms. Now the Cardinals stayed in Jupiter tonight, and they have a team meeting tomorrow. So I'm assuming that we will probably hear a lot of those plans or some of the options. You know, the Cardinals never speak in absolutes, so we're not going to hear anything, you know, what they're thinking. But they will probably throw enough ideas out there to where you can probably get an idea about where baseball in general is kind of leaning. So that makes the most sense to be able to bring more players. But yeah, you're right. I mean, for these guys that are just now ramping up, and in these last 2 weeks, we were going to start seeing guys go multiple innings. You know, Waino went a pretty easy 5 today, but that other than Ponce de Leon, I can't really think of another guy that went as smooth in 5 as Wainwright did today. And, you know, that's one of those guys that are still getting their innings on backfields, and after starts, they run into trouble. You know, they're throwing in the bullpen and whatnot. But, you know, that's not game competition. And that's going to be it's just such a mystery on how things will go. And there's a curiosity to me to see it, but then there's a frustration and how things were, you know, will play out. And I'm curious just to hear some more definitive words, A, on the health side of it, and B, on the baseball side of it.
Yeah. Tara, anything else that you want to mention about this that we haven't talked about?
Oh, boy. I mean, there are so many layers, and we sort of touched on it briefly, but, you know, just it affects so many people, the stadium workers, the game day crew, the media, the people like myself who are essentially, it's like a giant layoff, you know, and you see those at large corporations, and everyone understands the devastation of that. That's what's happened here. And it seems maybe like it's strange to make those comparisons because it's sports and we feel like this is an entertainment thing that doesn't necessarily equate to some sort of necessity in our daily lives. But for a lot of us, it is our daily lives. And, you know, it's how we buy groceries and it's how we put gas in our cars. And so I think that just sort of highlights the size and the scope of all of this, that it's to that point where the best case scenario, the best solution, is also still pretty traumatic to a lot of people. So look, I don't say that to like point fingers at myself, but simply to say there are a lot of people affected by this, and, you know, just be careful in the way that you talk to people. And I think if anything, let it emphasize some empathy, because a lot of people, whether it's minor leaguers who don't know if they're going to get paid, or major leaguers who don't know if they're going to go home and see their families, or, you know, collegiate athletes who aren't going to get to play their senior tournaments, or high school kids who thought they were going to get to play for a state title. I mean, all of this, there's no one at this point who is entirely unaffected by it. And I think that just, like I said, underscores the scope of it. And hopefully will, on the glass half full side of things, encourage people to just be kind and patient with each other as we all try to figure it out and wait for baseball to come back.
Yes. And hopefully that won't be a long wait. You know, we used up all our off-season material already, so we can't
really... I know. How are we going to do podcasts now?
I mean, it's never stopped us before.
True, true.
Ramble on about something for a while. And we probably will. I expect that both Gateway and Mutual will still have some episodes during this downtime. We can talk about what camp looked like and what the rosters were looking like and what things might look like when things return. But until then, we'll just count this as our show for a while, and we'll get back to you hopefully with a little bit more information, and they'll give us some more things to talk about. But until we meet again, that's Alan and that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.